This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on a bright and beautiful Monday in the Capital Region and beyond. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757 is your number. That's a universal number anywhere on the planet. And you can also send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We're going to cover some ground today, primarily about state matters, with Mary Patricia Ray, the Top Drawer Strategist. That's her company. And Mary Patricia has been on this show many times. As we know, she helped guide John Bel Edwards to the governor's mansion 4 years ago. And Jeff Saddo, the esteemed political scientist from LSU Shreveport, is also with us to talk about matters of importance. And at the state capitol last week, the Equal Rights Amendment cropped back up. This is a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution, originally offered to the masses in the year of 1921. And in 1972, the Louisiana Senate voted 25-13 for this measure. It did not pass the House in the year of 72, Edwin Edwards' first year in office, but it certainly was popular in the upper chamber. And last week, in a full House committee in the Senate, a Senate panel advanced it to the full Senate. 4-3 was the vote, so now presumably the full Senate will vote on this, and we'll see how it goes. But, of course, most people believe it's dead on arrival in Louisiana. It is a vivid topic of discussion all across the country. And the Equal Rights Amendment, which has been credited or blamed, depending on your point of view, for perhaps changing America in ways that would be quite profound, it reads, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be defined or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." That's Section 1, and then Section 2 and 3 are pretty much boilerplate. "The Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article, and this amendment shall take effect 2 years after the date of ratification." So the guts of the measure reads, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." Jeff Saddo, we'll start with you. Why do so many conservatives and others, but mostly conservatives, find fault with this measure?
Because it would change the legal standard for evaluating cases of differential treatment between men and women from the highest standard, strict scrutiny, from intermediate scrutiny, the kind of the middle standard, to the highest standard, strict scrutiny, and that would have a number of, for many people, a number of undesirable policy effects.
Mary Patricia Ray, I would imagine you look at it differently.
Well, I actually look at it in a very different way, in that this amendment to the United States Constitution, if it were to go into effect, would not undo decades of case law by which the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment has already been interpreted to protect women as a class. However, if this amendment doesn't mean much in its language, it means a lot to women of Louisiana and women across the United States. And Senator J.P. Morrell has brought this concurrent resolution, he said, in order to honor a very honorable woman, the late Felicia Khan. And I think people's votes in the legislature will speak volumes about their commitment to improving lives for women in a state where we rank in the bottom for most things when it comes to women and families.
Now, in the last 2 years, Nevada and Illinois have become the 36th and 37th states to ratify the ERA. The seven-year window is long gone for most of the states that said yes, so this is far from a done deal. It's got a long way to go, and it's unlikely to happen anytime soon, but the fact that two states that had been against it now or for it is significant, and Louisiana is diving into this. The governor has remained neutral, Mary Patricia Ray. Do you think at some point he will take a stand, or will he let the legislature determine it?
I think the governor is busy actually trying to improve lives for people in Louisiana, and he's got a lot on his plate this session that is part of his package. I think he's also cognizant that there are people in the legislature who simply vote against measures because he decides to support them. And so I think that might be a signal to a lot of us out here about his quiet support for the measure and his attempt to not interfere with it in a negative way.
877-217-5757, again, your number for Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Saddo. Professor Saddo, do you think the governor should dive in on this one?
Well, if he has an opinion one way or the other, certainly he ought to. He won't because this is a fairly divisive issue, and one thing that Governor Edwards has done his best in the past 3 or so years is on issues where he knows he's at odds with the Louisiana public is to avoid saying anything at all about it. So in this case, you know, I don't know what his views are. Could be one way or the other. But I don't think he's going to get involved simply because it's going to be too controversial.
Now, on the issue of minimum wage, for example, he has been full bore into that one, and polls show that most of the people in the state agree with him. You think it's a matter of just politics as to why, and by the way, this would be nothing new, why this governor would be openly for something that's popular with the electorate and perhaps not be openly for something that might not be as popular?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the hallmarks of Edwards' governorship is, as a legislator, he was far to the left, certainly on economic issues such as the minimum wage, as far as the political spectrum goes, and as far for many of these issues, with the Louisiana public. So he will try to avoid, again, taking those kinds of positions and try to present himself, at least ideologically, in a full spectrum way as something that he's not.
Mary Patricia Ray for...
Revisionist.
Go ahead.
Revisionist history.
All right. We're going to have to make sure that we're not getting feedback on her line. Are we okay, Matt? Let's give her a try. Mary?
Had a chance to vote on controversial measures when he was in the House of Representatives, because under the Jindal administration, those measures never came to the floor of the House and rarely moved through the committees of which he was a member. To say that he is becoming involved on minimum wage because there's polling that suggests people agree with him, and that he's not becoming involved on the Equal Rights Amendment because people disagree with it, would be to suggest that the people of Louisiana disagree with the spirit of this amendment, which simply says that women shouldn't be discriminated against.
All right. The amendment, again, reads, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. We start with Mark on Highland. Hi, Mark. You're on Talk Louisiana.
I don't know if this was covered last week, Friday, because I didn't get to hear it all. If the ERA is successfully, you know, passed and made part of the Constitution, what about the Selective Service? Was that something that would apply equally to male and female?
All right. What about Selective Service? Could that be an issue if the ERA were passed? Jeff?
Yes, it would be. Sure, that's, as we know now, the regulations issued under the Obama administration concerning the armed forces is that women can serve in combat roles. That's something that is, again, just a matter of, I guess, administrative preference at this point. But what the ERA would do is that it would abolish the that difference between men and women in terms of being drafted into combat service. So that discretion would be lost.
All right. Mary Patricia Ray, would there be anything wrong with women in combat?
Jim, that's not correct. There's already been guidance issued from several congressional bodies which state that this amendment would be able to be interpreted to account for differences between men and women. It would not mandate anything like them having to be drafted. My personal view is that I don't have any problem being included in a mandatory draft whatsoever.
877-217-5757 is your number. And right now, the two front runners for president in each party, Donald Trump, who almost certainly will be the Republican nominee again, had 6 draft deferments in Vietnam, and Joseph Robinette Biden had 5 draft deferments. He, too, like President Trump and President Clinton and President Bush and Vice President Cheney and Vice President Quayle, did everything he could to stay out of Vietnam. So why would we point a finger at women and say, my goodness, if they wanted to fight for our country, they should be denied that right? 877-217-5757. We're going to talk with Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sado about a few different matters, including minimum wage. It is an election year. We're only 5.5 months away from the October primary of October 12th, and it is mighty quiet out there, not only in the governor's race, but in the other statewide races. It's been a tepid year, and this is unusual by Louisiana standards, but is this indicative of the fact that some believe we have a one-party system in our state, that the Republicans have gained control of the statewide offices? If you're an incumbent Republican, no GOP candidate's going to run against you. There's only one Democrat, and two lesser-known Republicans are challenging him. We'll be back to talk more about this and more after this timeout. This is Talk Louisiana. Thank you for joining us. Our guests are Mary Patricia Ray, a Democratic strategist who helped guide John Bel Edwards to the mansion 4 years ago, and Jeff Sado, a Republican professor at Louisiana State University Shreveport, and of course a noted columnist about Louisiana politics who has been a frequent critic of the governor. Right now we're talking about the ERA. The governor has remained silent to this point about a measure that cleared the Louisiana Senate committee last week on a 4-3 party line vote. ERA reads, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the U.S., United States, or by any state on account of sex. That's it. Paul Annopoulos is, hi, Paul. You're on the air with Mary Patricia and Jeff.
Good morning, Jim. Very, very good subject. Just one question. The ERA, I think the first amendment was written some years ago. How has it changed from being initially written to today, and how does the ERA deal with transgendered people, you know, back and forth? Also, like, I make a statement on the pay for equal for men and women. I work in an oil refinery. There are a few women, but they're same rate that we get. Never been a difference. I don't think, well, because they won't stand for it. Let me tell you that right now. But there's never been a difference in pay in my refinery.
All right. Thank you, Paul. The original ERA proposal in 1921 read this way: no political, civil, or legal disabilities or inequalities on account of sex or on account of marriage, unless applying equally to both sexes, shall exist within the United States or any territory subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So it has been essentially watered down a great deal from that original statement. But Mary Patricia Ray, Paul brought up something that I did want to discuss with you and Jeff as well about equal pay. That's another measure the governor has been out in front on, and he has thrice been unsuccessful. Is this the year?
It's an election year, Jim. So, you know, there are a lot of folks that oppose the concept of equal pay as part of a sort of pandering to their donor base and their perceived part of the right constituencies. So, you know, this isn't the year that we would normally see something like that move through the legislature.
Jeff Sado, equal pay, minimum wage, are they dead on arrival this year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the equal pay argument's always been a myth, the research shows. We look at the minimum wage, look at the research there, and we got some new data looking at some of the cities that have enacted ordinances that increase it gradually or suddenly. And again, pretty much confirms what we've seen. It kills jobs. It doesn't help the people it allegedly is supposed to help. And, you know, those arguments haven't changed. So, you know, I don't think that situation is going to change either this year.
877-217-5757 is your number for Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sado. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Mr. Sado, when a Republican Congress and a Republican President, George W. Bush, signed the minimum wage increase, you said Governor Edwards was on the far left. Was the president, the Republican President and the Republican Congress on the far left? And furthermore, about three-quarters of the states have raised the minimum wage. Many municipalities and counties have, and we have record low unemployment, the record low unemployment has been contributed to people having more money to spend stimulating the economy.
Professor?
Okay. Let's see. There are two or three things in there. I guess the first thing is to say that if everybody goes running off a cliff, you know, do you join them? The fact that many states and, you know, Republican presidents and Congresses have raised the minimum wage still doesn't make it a good idea. The problem with it is it artificially prices labor, at least some kinds of labor, above its actual contribution to society. And so when you do that, you pull resources from more productive uses that would benefit everybody towards this less productive use. So it doesn't make it a good idea just because others have, and perhaps others who normally have had a little more conservative views on economics, just because they do it doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Mary Patricia Ray, we've noted here the state of Arkansas has raised its rate to $11 an hour. We remain at $7.25 in Louisiana. Why is this such a hot potato in our state?
Well, Jim, there's a very conservative minimum wage bill moving through the legislature this year, and that's House Bill 422. It would restore power to local governments, a very Republican type of policy, to set their own minimum wage. And regardless of whether we think it was good for another city or parish or county to do that, conservatives in the legislature are currently opposing the ability of local governments to set their own minimum wage and other labor standards to affect the quality of life of people in their own parishes. So we see that they are willing to cede power to local government and cut down on big government overreach when it suits their purposes, but not when it suits the purposes of their constituents.
Jim on Jones Creek. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I have a few questions here. The first one is if, as you said, that less, you know, more productive people should be paid more, therefore it's really obvious you're in favor of giving teachers like a $10,000 a year raise. That would make sense. But I've always had a real issue with Republicans opposing a living wage for workers while also opposing any sort of welfare and assistance. So, I mean, if you'd like people off of welfare and assistance, giving them a living wage would appear to make sense.
All right. What about more people might be off the public dole if they had a more livable wage? Does that make sense, Jeff Sado?
Again, what makes the most sense is to price labor at its actual contribution to society. When you fail to do that, you're taking resources away from the best and highest use, which benefits everybody economically. So, you know, again, it just kind of depends. Certain jobs, you know, you should let the market, basically you should let the market determine what the wage level should be.
All right. Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, you're on with Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sado. Hi, Sabash.
Hi. Good morning, Jim. I would like to ask the professor under what principles of economics he says that the labor should be priced according to the market prices. It is a ridiculous concept. Nobody, if I wanted to hire a gardener to take care of my lawn and other things, I don't go to the market and find out how much the market has already priced it. It is ridiculous. I would like to hire him for nothing if I can.
Jeff Sado, your response.
You're the market. I'm not sure why the thing is, you are part of the marketplace. You determine that price. So if that labor is valued to you at that price, then you provide it. But that's your decision.
All right. Mary Patricia Ray, your response? Should the market set the wage?
Well, I mean, I guess all these theories about this stuff is great, but what they ignore is in practice, the people who espouse these theories don't vote to set policies that match what they say. And so if they did, then maybe all of this would work out, but still probably not.
All right. Claire and Gonzalez. Hi, Claire. You're on the air with Mary Patricia and Jeff.
Hi, yes. I was wanting to ask the professor a question about letting the marketplace set the price for labor. Now, is that the same for CEOs? I mean, even failed company CEOs get paid exorbitant amount of wages. So,
all right. What about CEOs and their pay much higher than the average worker?
Yeah, sure. If that's the contribution they made to the society, sure. And, of course, you know, that pay is determined by boards of directors or stockholders. So there are mechanisms in place to do it. And if you don't like a CEO's pay for, say, you're a stockholder of a corporation, then introduce some resolution at a stockholders meeting to limit it in some way.
Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sado. Mary on the left, Jeff on the right. And we'll have one more segment with them. 877-217-5757 is your number. I see one line open for the first time in a while. And we're back after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Again, your number is 877-217-5757 for strategist Mary Patricia Ray, a Democrat who handles candidates on both sides of the political spectrum, and Jeff Sado, a card-carrying conservative, professor of note at Louisiana State University at Shreveport, where he has taught political science for almost three decades. 877-217-5757. Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Rinaldi. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. Listen, you know, this argument about a rising tide lifts all boats. You got to have a boat or, you know, you won't rise anything. If the tide rises too quickly, then you get taken under. But the point is about the minimum wage. We wonder why Louisiana is last in a lot of categories. Particularly, we are top of the line in out-migration. Why? Because our kids are graduating from Southern, LSU, Southeastern, and they're going to Dallas, Houston, and these are Atlanta, and these other cities where they pay a higher wage. Now, why the devil is Arkansas paying more than the state of Louisiana?
Jeff Sado, we're hearing some of the same issues, but I would imagine kids who go to college expect to make a lot more than minimum wage. But your thoughts about Rinaldi's concerns?
Well, you know, the real cause, you know, if he's bringing up the point of out-migration, which has accelerated in the last 3 years in Louisiana on a per capita basis, right up there with North Dakota is the highest in the country. That's because people are going to flee a jurisdiction where the taxes are going up or government spending on this generally larger government, government where there's a threat of increased regulation. Those are, in business, those are the kinds of things that are going to chase people away.
Mary Patricia Ray, many critics of the governor say he has expanded government. Is that fair?
Well, our total state budget has grown because he's bringing more of our federal tax dollars home through investments and programs that return those dollars to us. If you're one of the people receiving a service in the state that you weren't before, which is almost all of us, you probably don't think government has expanded. You probably think you're getting what you deserve. And moreover, I read some analysis of a Louisiana survey this morning that lends itself to the idea that Mr. Sadow wants people to believe our taxes have gone up and that a large number of people think that their taxes have gone up. And then when they actually look at the numbers, they find that they have not, that their taxes have gone down there.
All right, Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, Mr. Sadow, do you agree with LSU economist Jim Richardson that Bobby Jindal's tax pledge was silly to never raise taxes? But John Bell Edwards is very upfront about the budget, is intelligent and very interested in the state.
During the Jindal administration, there were some last year in particular, there were tax increases that Jindal endorsed. So, you know, if that's how you want to interpret that statement, is, you know, him saying one thing and doing another, well, then, you know, that would be correct.
Were you against him raising taxes in his last year?
Myself personally, yes. There could have been cuts in spending. There's a number of programs, not just money going out the door for certain activities, but money not being collected or being given away in the form of tax credits and rebates.
Mary Patricia, was the Jindal strategy a good one?
When you start your administration with a massive surplus and you spend it down to a massive deficit, what that means is you grew government and didn't pay for it. And that's exactly what happened under Bobby Jindal.
Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Hi, Charlotte. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for allowing me to contribute my view. The reason young people leave the state is not because of regulation. It's because of lack of jobs. The reason that CEO pay is as exorbitant as it is not based on market. It's based on the cushy old boy network where different people serve on their inter-boards. They'll serve on this person's board, and so they approve on that person's CEO pay because they know that in turn they'll get the same approval. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Charlotte. 877-217-5757. The line is now open. Nazir in Prairieville. Nazir, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, one of the things that I've seen with the Republican Party and the people who support Republican ideas does not support the value of labor for the lower class people in this country, especially in Louisiana and Mississippi and elsewhere. Workers, in my view, is the most valuable asset to any business and any organization. And for us, we need government to stand by us because government should represent the people, not only business people. And for the professor or the gentleman who is there protecting minimum wage, the days of slavery is over. Time to increase Louisiana minimum wage to a living standard so the poor people in this country who only could get these jobs, low-paying jobs, will get a better standard of living.
Professor Nazir gave you a bit to work with. Your response?
Well, again, the minimum wage hurts the very people that its advocates say it's supposed to help, or raising the minimum wage in particular. It essentially prices people out of jobs. It encourages things like automation that eliminate jobs. It has this accordion effect where it bumps wages up for others. Again, to a point where they begin to lose jobs because it's not competitive to hire them at that particular rate. So, you look at every academic study, just about every study, and it's pretty clear that a minimum wage kills jobs, and it kills the jobs at the lowest end, which, again, are the people that are supposed to be helped, allegedly, by a raise in the minimum wage.
877-217-5757, Glenn in Mid-City. Glenn, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mary Patricia and Jeff. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning. My question is, I saw recently a video called The Louisiana Paradox, and they were basically explaining the issues of corporate tax exemptions and how Louisiana's are usually bigger than every other state, and I would like to hear the panelists' comment on that. Thank you.
All right. Jeff?
Sure. The problem with the system is that it is difficult to understand. There are exceptions everywhere. It picks winners and losers. So, you know, the best thing to do would be to get rid of pretty much every one of these exemptions. Just put a flat tax corporate rate out there. If you have a corporate tax at all, there's a good argument not to have one at all. But if you're going to have one, make it simple. Don't have all these exceptions. Put out a low flat rate, and you'll create a system that much more efficiently will generate wealth and therefore tax revenues for government.
Mary Patricia, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad this subject's been brought up because under Mr. Sadow's theory about labor, he wouldn't need anything like tenure, which I'm sure he thinks is job protection for teachers in our K-12 system because his labor is so valuable. And like he said, we wouldn't need any of these tax giveaways to corporations. However, in the legislature, people who espouse to believe what he believes never vote to get rid of them. They never actually vote to get rid of them. That's the problem.
Jeff, she referenced you. Your response, please.
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what question was in there, but I agree with the sentiment that there needs to be more political courage to make these kinds of changes.
What about your tenure?
What about it?
Well, since your labor should since the market should determine the value of your labor, why should you have tenure?
I don't think we ought to. I've argued a number of times that in print that we ought to operate on us being university faculty on,
well, it's
say,
property,
5-year
right?
contracts.
You could just give it
and,
up.
And you get evaluated at the end of 5 years. If you don't cut it, they cut you loose.
Edward in Lafayette. Edward, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I have a question, I guess, for both. If you raise the minimum wage, say, let's say $15, and you've got someone who's been working for 10 years or whatever, and they're making $15 now, aren't you actually increasing the number of people who are making minimum wage?
All right. What about other wages going up as a result of raising minimum wage? Is that a valid concern? Mary Patricia?
Well, I'm sure that Mr. Sadow can cite numerous unnamed studies that support this theory without any citation. But what I would say is that it really doesn't matter. Either our policymakers are going to recognize we've got to get off of these last lists and we've got to do something serious about it. They're going to put this in the hands of the people who get to vote on this. Either way, either it's a constitutional amendment or at the local level, or they're going to continue to hoard power in Baton Rouge and have big government overreach, which Mr. Sadow and his allies claim to be against.
All right. Professor Sadow, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, there's an accordion effect, as the caller was noting, and that's one of the problems that having this artificial wage, as a minimum wage is, it's one of the problems that comes from it. So, yeah, when you have an increase like that, then you have these other workers that you have to increase.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, everybody. Mary Patricia, she got a little uptight right there. But anyway, never mind that. Number one, I don't understand why everybody is so afraid about the marketplace dictating minimum wage. I think everybody, every businessman with half a brain is well over minimum wage, regardless.
All right. What about the fact that most people don't make minimum wage? LABI lobbies for business, but most of the companies they're representing don't have workers at minimum wage. They're not affiliated with LABI for the most part. Mary Patricia?
Yeah, I do. I do get uptight about hypocrisy. So do Louisiana voters, and that bears out at the polls. You should try it, Gustavo. You know, look, there are special interests up here for whom the minimum wage is a big threat. You know, we see the Restaurant Association and others come out against it.
All right. We're going to spend just a few more minutes with Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sadow, and we'll be back after this brief pause with more Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we're only going to take a couple more calls because we got to get Mary Patricia Ray and Jeff Sadow off to their duties, and we will slide in Ann on Blue Bonnet. Ann, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I just wanted to say Professor Sadow is completely incorrect when he says, quote, unquote, virtually every study that's looked at it has indicated that raising the minimum wage causes job decrease. That, in fact, is not true. The studies are somewhat split on the issue, and most that show any decrease in the unemployment rate show that it's very temporary. And
all right, Jeff Sadow, here we go again. Many people believe that you're wrong on this issue, and I know you fervently believe you're right.
Yeah, no, there are some a few studies out there that purport to show that there is a net economic gain by having increases in minimum wage. Most don't. Again, I would point to some of the more recent ones done by the University of Washington and in California about the minimum wage increases that occurred in California cities and Seattle.
All right. Mary Patricia Ray, your response, please.
Well, Jim, you know, there's some people working for solutions, and there's some people working to preserve the status quo. Some people think the status quo isn't good enough in Louisiana. That bears out in all studies that it's...
All right. Last caller for Mary Patricia and Jeff, Chris in Prairieville. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning. I just had a quick comment, and I'd like to hear from both panelists. as an MBA, I don't have a problem with wages floating in the market, but I feel like the market is not fairly regulated in that we allow a lot of undocumented labor, a lot of, repressed wages in the labor market that is not actually reflected. And so I'd like...
All right. Mary Patricia, your response to Chris in Prairieville.
I'm sorry, Jim, was that for me?
Yes, yes.
I mean, Jim, he sounds like a highly educated person who's skeptical that the market is going to correct all of this. So I think he's probably pretty smart.
All right. And Jeff, you get the final word.
Yeah, certainly the caller identified something very important in this debate, and that is if we did not have all this leakage, so to speak, to undocumented workers, you would find there would be a natural upward pressure on wages, and the very few people, it's less than 2% of the population that work on a minimum wage, you'd find that number go much lower.
All right. Well, thank you, Professor Sato, and thank you, Mary Patricia Ray, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Thanks for your insights.